Hello, welcome to the Rubik's Mental Health and Wellness Podcast. We'll be talking with community members about how to live our most meaningful and fulfilling lives. For an overview of the Rubik's program, please listen to the introductory episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Rubik's Podcast. This month, we're going to talk about environmental health, and I have my dear friend, Bridget Wethington, here with me today to talk about how our physical environment affects our mental health and well-being. Hi, Bridget.
Hey. Hey, everybody.
So tell everybody how we know each other.
So, geez, you hired me many years ago when your children were still super young.
Yeah.
You lived in a totally different location. We revamped your bedroom, your daughter's, your twins' bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And then you move, so I helped you kind of adjust to your new home, mm-hmm. and it's just basically an ongoing relationship.
Yes, and now we're yoga buddies.
Yes, we do yoga side by side. I've come to your practice.
Yeah,
I've come to your
true.
Office.
That's right.
Commercial
yeah.
spaces. So,
yeah. and my kids love your house.
Yes.
So, just to give a little bit of background, Bridget Wethington is an interior designer. She has her own company called Be Chic Interiors, and she has really helped me make my houses into homes and make our living spaces places that we feel safe, comfortable, and nurtured in. And so I wanted to talk with Bridget today because I know that when we talk about environmental health, Bridget, we usually think the environment, capital E, like climate crisis, mm-hmm. which is an important part of environmental wellness and has an impact on our mental health. But I'm really interested in, at a much closer level, mm-hmm. how our
sure.
physical environments affect our mental health and well-being. And I've always found in the 10-ish years that I've known you that you really pay attention to that when you're talking mm-hmm. to folks about their space. So talk to me a little bit about how you think about our physical space and how it affects our psyche and our mental well-being.
Absolutely. And this is a topic I'm obviously very passionate about. I was actually watching Mindhunter last night on Netflix, and I heard the most amazing quote, but I had to change one word. It is, one's expansiveness of spirit need be reflected by one's personal surroundings. So we need to let our spirits grow, mm-hmm. and our spaces have to be conducive for that. So in general, people, we are human beings. We need certain things. I'm primarily a residential interior designer. I have a huge belief in comfort. We are always rushing to get home. And why do we want to be home? Why are we, you know, sitting in traffic at the same time everybody else is? We all just want to be home in our comfortable environment. Cleanliness is a huge factor with well-being. And that, to me, is a broader umbrella that includes organizational aspects of the home and kind of intentionality. Of course, we want our spaces to be functional. We want our furniture to have clear traffic patterns, our kitchens to not be too crowded so that one person's getting a drink out of the fridge and one person's cooking and we're not running into each other. And of course, as humans, I always like to pay tribute to nature and bring the outside in and also bring the inside out. You know, it. Of course, we have a huge range of budgets and lifestyles and places that we live. But as long as we let some light in, that's just as much as important as having a nice sofa. And of course, the last kind of topic that is very important to me is cultivating joy. And that to me includes sentimental objects, being around a curated collection of art, maybe taking some of your favorite colors that make you inspired or calm and peaceful and applying those to your interior.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about bringing joy to your environment, but then also having sort of organization and workflow and things like that, talk a little bit about how you think about organizing your close-in spaces. I want to talk about all the layers of our living spaces, but talk a little bit about that. Like, when you're thinking about an office space or a kitchen, how you mentioned, how do you think about how organizing those spaces and what we do there is going to impact our mental health and well-being.
Sure. For me, when I sit down to design, I have to clear off my desk in order to think clearly. So sometimes a jumbled, cluttered space creates anxiety and overwhelming feelings of repression, really, that I can't get anything done because my life, my surroundings are just chaotic and a mess. And that to me also includes noise pollution. So I would say everything in its place, everything has a place. And for me, that provides an element of comfort. I have several professional organizers that I've had in my own home. I'm no organizer. I need help too. And I've had my organizer go through every single file in my filing cabinet and refile everything, relabel everything. I've had her take all of my swatches, my marble, tiles, window treatments, fabrics, flooring samples. Every sample I have has a place and a drawer and a space. And so when I'm busy and I have 20 projects going on and I just took on a new one because I really have a hard time saying no, I know exactly where to go. And before I had that organizer come in, my home office made no sense. It didn't really have a good flow. I couldn't bring somebody like an assistant to even come in to help me because it was too much of a job for even an assistant to take on the organization of my office. So applying it to projects like kitchens and bathrooms, we usually have drawings and we usually write on those drawings in a kitchen. We write on the drawing where the glasses are going, where the plates are going, where the silverware, where the lids are going, where the Tupperware is going, and so on and so forth, so that we know when we move out of the kitchen, demolish it, remodel it, and we put it back together. Sometimes that is an overwhelming task, but if we have our little map that says, my plates go in this cabinet, my glasses go in this cabinet, it's so much easier to move back in. And that, to me, is part of the design process in that, of course, we're going to get a beautiful new kitchen. And of course, it's going to be gorgeous and stylish. But also the experience of the remodel matters to me. I want my clients to have their eyes wide open going into a kitchen remodel. That they need to set up a temporary kitchen in another space in the home. Or I've even had clients rent Airbnbs and move out temporarily because the idea of not having a kitchen sink, a stovetop, a refrigerator, a working refrigerator, that is daunting to parents who need to feed more mouths than just one.
So do you kind of go from the idea that if you're organized and calm and productive the way you want to be when you start your day and finish your day, then as you go out into the world, you're hopefully going to have that same centering, organization, and productivity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a grounding.
Yeah. So I find that so important. And again, I keep going back to whenever I talk to folks about your environmental health, they always think, is the planet healthy? Am I recycling? But it starts in your living spaces. I will say, though, I want to ask you about, I know this isn't necessarily your project in your house, but my kids tell me that you have an absolutely beautiful collection of plants in your home. So tell me about your plants and what they do for your family and how that impacts what how you see your environmental health in your home.
Oh my goodness, such a great question. And this is something that I tell my clients all the time is that every space, every room should have something alive in it. We also have a huge collection of fish. So we have thousands of things alive in our basement. Whether I maintain those fish tanks or not is, I really don't, honestly.
They're more work than people realize, fish tanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I admire them from afar and enjoy.
Do you have saltwater tanks?
No, fish.
Okay. Okay.
But in any case, I honestly can't take any credit for the purchase, the potting, the watering. Anything having to do with plants, that is all my husband, who is kind of like a Mr. Miyagi type character. He has the plants, he has his fish, and those are things that he needs for his serenity and peace. Mm-hmm. So we take our plants outside all summer and let them summer outside. Mm-hmm. And we bring them in the winter. And it's so amazing because the orchids all bloom all winter long. And wow. So it is like, I can't take credit for the blooms, but I certainly appreciate and enjoy them. And we pretty much have a plant in every room, whether dead or alive. You're hearing me. I am not a green thumb. So a lot of my clients are very intimidated by the idea of purchasing a fiddly fig tree for their corner that is kind of high maintenance and there's big leaves and they'll fall off and all. It's a waste of money. Yeah. So we do sometimes purchase the faux silk plants, but I always encourage real, if at all possible. Snake plants are my favorite recommendation for people who are nervous they might kill the plant. I can't even kill a snake plant.
So I was, everybody talks about how plants, of course, produce oxygen. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. And just in terms of air quality that I can hang my hat on, you know, as a physician, I love to find facts, right? So I'm like, yes, plants produce oxygen in your environment. That's a good thing. And then there's the idea that there are some plants that actually detoxify your environment. People talk about spider plants detoxifying your environment, which I'm happy to believe. Why not? You know?
Sure.
And then I just recently, the New York Times has a whole series of like life hack articles. And there was an article in there about how living with plants in your environment appears to be correlated with longer lifespans. And I, of course, was like, oh, great, I'm never going to die. But I feel like you. I really am not a Mr. Miyagi with plants, and my husband is. It sounds like he's like Justin. He likes bonsai and orchids and all of these plants that are very difficult to take care of. My dad is the same way. He likes to raise plants, especially fruit and vegetable plants that aren't meant to be in the environment that we are, like, he loves to raise plants from, like, zone 9 or whatever, you know, tropical things and flowers from where he grew up and things like that. And he does it somehow. And you go to his house and it seems as like everybody can just raise jasmine, gardenia, and bougainvillea. They're just all over the place. You've seen it. They'd waterfall over the balconies. Yes. And so he'll say, oh, well, you can have a cutting. And he'll bring us a bougainvillea. And like 3 days later, the thing has dropped all of its leaves. And we're thinking, okay, there's clearly a lot more, not just expertise, but love and human energy that goes into this. And I'm pretty clear that Justin and Jonathan do the same thing. But I have found a few plants that I can keep alive. It became really important to me to be able to keep not just children and animals, but plants alive. So I think I'm going to live for way too long with all these plants and children and animals in my very healthy environment. Okay, you said something to me when we were talking about doing this interview that really struck me that I think a lot of folks don't think about, which was how our actual, how the items in our home can physically impact our health over the long term. And I've been laughing all week about what you said, but it isn't funny. But you said it in a way that made it so that I could laugh about it. So can you talk a little bit about how our carpeting, furniture, even our woodwork or cabinetry can affect our physical health and how that may affect our mental health without realizing it as well?
Yes, and you touched on air quality with the plants and you know, there is such a thing as off-gassing. Some of the inner materials inside a sofa, they off-gas.
Flame retardants.
We wear sometimes flame retardant clothes to bed. We put our children in the flame retardant PJs. They're actually not great for your body to have those chemicals laying on your skin. And that, for me, goes throughout the home. I always start with a wool rug, as ideal as possible. If we can get natural fibers that touch our skin, I am not a huge fan of a wool blanket, but cotton would be great. Linen, anything that is man-made does have artificial ingredients in it. And our skin is our largest organ, and we absorb things like that. So if our surroundings, if our carpet's made out of polyester and our sofas made out of polyester as well, for practicality and durability's sake, they work great. Mm-hmm. But are they good for our body and mm-hmm. our minds? Mm-hmm. That's...
Yeah, and I think something that really struck me about that was that those of us that are thinking about that, for example, the flame retardant chemicals are known to have long-term impacts on our health and to be potential carcinogens. But I really wonder how it affects our state of mind to have those. It's I don't know if it's even quantifiable or if the size of the space that you're in matters, for example. But I feel like a lot of us can think about times when we're in a small, closed space for a long time and we just sort of get antsy, or we don't know what's wrong, but we just don't feel right in our heart and mm-hmm. need to. They always talk about when you're feeling really stressed or tight, take a walk, go outside, get some fresh air. I have to wonder how much some of what you brought my attention to as far as the chemicals that we treat are, I think it's the compressed particle board materials as well, right?
Yes.
Have some of those kinds of
yes.
substances.
I've actually had clients who were allergic to mm-hmm. MDF. And mm-hmm. so we had to use solid wood mm-hmm. all the way around in their cabinetry.
Mm-hmm.
And you also touched on the air quality with the plants. That also goes into like air fresheners and the HVAC system, the way our air is circulating, and the smells that are produced by candles. Even candles can be toxic. So there's definitely things that us designers think about that maybe a homeowner does not consider
mm-hmm.
right offhand. The easiest thing to do is buy a Glade plug-in and throw it in the wall and create a cinnamon harvest smell for the fall. But that smell for me, as soon as I walk into a home and I smell that smell, I'm like... I tighten up because I know that I'm breathing in toxic air already.
Yeah, I will have an asthma attack in that environment instantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, tell me a little bit about when you talk about we've talked about this sort of we're circling around this question: what characteristics would a home have to optimize sort of our mental health as far as private spaces, natural spaces, activity-specific spaces? Mm-hmm. When you, I know that you think in a very sort of organized way about that. So talk a little mm-hmm. bit about how you think about that when you're thinking about a living space.
Sure. So first and foremost, we do yoga together, and I really apply some principles of yoga to my practice. There's so much that goes into a person's well-being, and the most I can do is set them up for success. I like kind of dividing into two spaces, an active space and a calm space.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of goes throughout the whole home. An active space to me, a kitchen, that's an active, lively space, a dining room, a playroom, those are a music room. Obviously, an exercise room, that's the most obvious thing that we think of as an active space. And then we have calm spaces, our bedrooms, our family rooms, our living rooms, a basement media room even that's kind of dark and quiet. Of course, we sometimes live in very small spaces, dorm rooms, apartments, where we don't have the luxury of having a room for our media, a room for meditation, a room for, it might just be one room. I've lived in a studio before. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so you really have to be strategic in placing those needs of ours in certain areas of an open space. And a lot of my clients struggle with defining where those spaces will be and how they will be set up. And most importantly, visualizing that. That's where I come in and get a drawing done and show how the space would look when it's done. And that's just aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
But the philosophy behind those aesthetics is very important to me as a designer. And the ultimate outcome is you and your family are happy and thrive and grow, and then maybe call me 2 years later and need your bathroom redone, and we'll still apply those same, you know, a bathroom is to me calming and, you know, cleanliness and orderly.
So switch gears a little bit from home to work. Some of the questions we talk about in this environmental section as far as the Rubik's program are, what are your workspaces like? Do you feel supported at work? Do you have private space at work? And a lot of the folks I've worked with, myself included, until about 8 months ago, had this light bulb go on, like, I actually don't have anywhere in my work day where I can go and have a private conversation, a quiet moment if I need to take a break and center myself. So talk a little bit about how you can help work environments create those kinds of safe mental health spaces for folks. I think about this in terms of, for example, educators. I've worked with educators who are like, no, I don't have any private space at work. What are you talking about? I don't even go to the bathroom once I start my teaching day, you know? So talk a little bit about how you would strategize for folks to find or create a private space to get a moment in their work day.
That is a tough question.
It is a tough question. I don't think there's an answer. Yes. I just wanted to talk with you about it. There's no right answer,
for
obviously.
For sure. Yeah. And that was, like, for me, the most challenging question that you gave me. You know, because I am a residential interior designer, I don't quite have as much experience working in the commercial environment, but I have had a bit. I would say first and foremost, it goes to the leadership of the operation in providing that environment. And it also goes to the employee. I want the employees to cultivate inner peace and perhaps meditate before they come to work. And so they are showing up with a sense of calm and a sense of hard work, and they're showing up ready to get their tasks done for the day. Of course, I can say, go outside and get a break. That's not smoking a cigarette or vaping.
Yes.
Just go outside and take a few breaths. Mm-hmm. For me, sometimes it literally just means I'm taking one intentional breath, and that's yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Just one breath sometimes is all I need to recenter. But to create an environment, I've been to amazing office design companies that create kind of womb chairs. And when you sit in them, egg chairs, because Z has an egg chair now, and I love that chair. When you sit in the chair, it's sound barrier proof. You feel very comforted in the womb kind of feeling chair, and you're very... there's amazing design out there for furniture for
That's brilliant.
Commercial.
That's a brilliant answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
No, that's such a thoughtful problem solving approach of, okay, well, if you can't have a private room in a medical office or a educational environment, which are more and more open these
That's
days,
right.
you can create space even by providing, for example, a womb chair or an egg chair. And there is a reason why we have two of those in our home. And it's you also, in your answer there, you mentioned a really good solution that I actually have employed, which is I started getting to work a little bit early, not an hour early or anything, just 15 minutes early before I know people are going to be showing up, so that even if there isn't private space during the day, I have had my time in my workspace by myself to center, prepare, sign forms, whatever I'm going to need to do that might create a feeling of hecticness later. And so I think that is a really good strategy also for almost like taking control of your work environment if it's one that can sometimes feel like it isn't that way.
And it's intentional I know I'm going to be in a stressful situation, but how my state of mind arriving to that stressful situation, if it's in a good place, then it's all going to work out.
And then we've also, you can tell that I'm a really big nature lover because I'm going to go back to another question about outside and things like that. I've mentioned that people tend to see the environmental category as, oh, big E environment. And I don't want to minimize that. I want to recognize that the big E environment, of course, does impact our mental health and how we feel about our present and our future. So do you think in your work, or have you had families ask you at all about how we can improve the way we do consider our living environments and optimize our interaction with the natural world, and maybe even try to decrease our contribution to climate crisis?
Absolutely. This is also a topic I love to share and talk to my clients about, and anyone who will listen. There's a lot of factors that come into play with design. One of them being also a more spiritual approach. Tempering desires is kind of something we talk about. It's easy to go to Home Goods and buy a new pillow. Is that really what's going on here? So one thing is to buy less, reduce, if you will,
that.
Is
yeah.
Tempering the desires. Reuse, mm-hmm. of course, mm-hmm. is I personally love shopping vintage. My style is mid-century modern. So mm-hmm. I love companies like Home Anthology, Wishbone Reserve, going to Hamden and shopping the vintage stores there. That's something I personally love to do. Not everybody likes that style or used things. I personally love a story. Estate sales are great too. If your budget's tight, thrift stores. Let's reuse the things that are already made. And
love
sometimes
it.
They're made mm-hmm. way better than mm-hmm. buying something cheap off Overstock or Wayfair that, you know, it's going to show up in 2 days and you're going to have to assemble it. It's all MDF and it's going to fall apart in a year. And why not maybe pay tribute to your family. Hey, Grandma, I love this bookcase. Do you think one day I could have it?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you never know what door is going to mm-hmm. blast open just off of one noticing mm-hmm. or one request.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times I walk into homes that are a mishmash. People get married, they bring all of their furniture together, none of it works together, half of it's IKEA or hand-me-down furniture from two generations prior. So sometimes it's also working with what we already have and just repurposing it or making it different and painting it or just altering its purpose in some way. The other thing, of course, going back to the natural materials, is I always start with natural materials, if at all possible, buying local.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing I personally love to do, is I love meeting artists and buying directly from artists.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's supporting the environment in a way that is a footprint driven, that
mm-hmm.
that art is not traveling from California and mm-hmm. being printed with mm-hmm, inks mm-hmm. that are dumped into the ocean after mm-hmm. they're done with them. That art's not being shipped across the country. You're literally present with an artist who made that piece.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, there's nothing more rewarding in my field than buying art from an artist.
So I love all of this. I feel like if I summarize what we've talked about, you've really talked about mindfulness in concentric circles. Everything from how you are mindful and kind and nurturing and how you interact with other people around you, and then our living environments, and then our communities, and then thinking about the broader impact of the choices that we're making. You're really bringing a sense of mindfulness to our physical, to our physical environments. And I feel like a lot of times people will think, oh, well, interior design, it's just about putting pretty fabrics in the right places. But I feel like you really have emphasized and clarified this approach of mindfulness in aesthetics and design. And that's why I respect you so much. And I'm so glad we got to have this conversation today. I think it's been really helpful. And hopefully it'll bring some great attention to the idea of how our environment affects our mental health for folks that are listening.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Rubik's Mental Health and Wellness Podcast. We'll return next month for more strategic conversation about how to live our most meaningful and fulfilling lives.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.